Welcome to a reading of Lesson 8, God's Will, in virtualbibleacademy.org's Disciple Making 1, Abiding in His Word. It's from the study book, pages 110 through 117. I'm John Morris, and as much as possible, I'll simply be reading the content of this lesson. Follow along in the study book if you'd like to, or just listen. Either way is fine. Page 110, Lesson 8, God's Will. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Knowing God's will is very important to every believer. However, our goal must not be just knowing God's will. Our goal must also be doing His will. Much of His direction for our lives is of a general nature that applies to all believers uniformly. He also has an individualized will for each believer. And there are no shortcuts, no gimmicks, and no magic formulas in determining God's will. Most often, God gradually unfolds His will to us as we grow in our walk with Him. It is a product of routine faithfulness. The importance of following God's will is seen in the life of Jesus. Jesus said it clearly, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me." Jesus also said, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." Obviously, before we can do God's will, we must understand what His will is. Paul stressed the importance of knowing God's will in Ephesians 5, 17. "So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." We can know God's will for our lives. "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go." Psalm 32, 8. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And the Bible assures us that His will for us is good. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Romans 8, 28. "The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand." Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. And the principle is clearly seen in Jeremiah 29, 11. "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." We know the general will of God for all believers directly from the Bible. His general will is the same for every believer. And we know His individualized will for our lives as a product of a faithful life in the general will of God. From that base of obedience, we follow three steps to determine and act on His individualized will. We ask the Father. Then we acquire guidance from His word, His wisdom, His people, and His peace. And then we act when we know His will. Page 111, His general will. Most of God's direction for our lives is His general will that applies to all believers without variation. We understand His general will directly from the Bible. We learn of His general will for us from the commandments, principles, and examples found in His Word. Commandments. These are general non-negotiable commandments in the Bible given for every believer. "For this is the will of God, that you abstain from sexual immorality." 1 Thessalonians 4:3. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. "Submit yourselves to the Lord's sake to every human institution, for such is the will of God." 1 Peter 2, 13 through 15. And Jesus expects us to obey these commands and the others. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," John 14:15. Obedience should be more than an hour-by-hour decision. Obedience should be our way of life. Principles. There are principles in the Bible covering varied situations. There is the principle of good stewardship described at the beginning of Luke 16. The cost of discipleship is at the end of Luke 14. And the principle of spending time with lost people is presented in the three parables of Luke 15. We need to understand and apply all the many principles given in the Old and New Testaments. The principles and commandments give us God's general will for our lives. But there's examples. The Bible contains good examples to follow and contains bad examples to avoid. The best example is the life of Jesus Christ. Washing the disciples' feet, Jesus said, "For I gave you an example that you should also do as I did to you." We should follow his example of humility, Philippians 2:5. We should walk in his steps, 1 Peter 2:21, 1 John 2:6. And there are other good examples that we should follow, such as Daniel's good example of honoring and serving God in a godless place. And Paul gave a good witnessing example in Acts 17. And Paul wrote, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ," 1 Corinthians 11:1. But in addition, there are bad examples to avoid, such as King Saul giving partial obedience to God, or David's adulterous affair with Bathsheba, and the 17 cycles of failure during the time of the judges. So we get his individual will, what I'll be telling you shortly, we got his general will from the commandments, the principles, and then learning by watching and reading of the examples. His individualized will. God has an individual will for each believer, as seen in Psalm 32:8, Proverbs 3:5 and 6, Romans 8:28 and beyond. There are many examples in the Bible of individualized will. David wrote, "You wove me in my mother's womb, and in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them," Psalm 139:13 and 16. God had a specific will for Jeremiah. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak." Jeremiah 1:5-7. God's specific will for Job was determined in two conversations in heaven. Noah was called to build an ark. Abraham was called to relocate his family. And he was called to sacrifice Isaac. Rebekah was appointed to be Isaac's wife. Jonah was called to Nineveh. And Jesus chose his disciples. They didn't choose him. Paul was called to be an apostle. And the Holy Spirit gives varying spiritual gifts to individual believers to be used in different ministries as directed by Jesus. Page 112. Discovering his individual will. Three steps. Follow these three steps to learn and to do God's individualized will for you. First, ask God to tell you. Second, acquire guidance from his word, his wisdom, his people, and his peace. And then third, act. Do what God has told you. Ask. The starting point of knowing his individualized will is prayer. The psalmist's prayer should be ours. Psalm 143:10, "Teach me to do thy will." In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Thy will be done." The Apostle Paul prayed that the believers in Colossae would be filled with the knowledge of his will, Colossians 1:9. Epaphras labored earnestly in prayer for them, that they would stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God, Colossians 4:12. Our earnest prayer for ourselves and for others should be to know and do the will of God. Ask, then acquire guidance. God gives us his individualized will through his word, his wisdom, his people, and his peace. We ask God to reveal his will to us, and he answers those prayers through the four means described here: his word, his wisdom, his people, his peace. His word. Knowing God's individualized will is often a product of routine Bible study, or it can be from a study relating to a specific situation. God's individualized will for each believer becomes clear as we gain wisdom and understanding from God's Word, and He will never, never lead us to do something contrary to His Word. His wisdom. God's wisdom comes from an accumulative, obedient spiritual life. The more obediently we walk with Him, the more we can understand His Word and His will. Paul wrote, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Romans 12:2. Now, wisdom is different from knowledge. Ask God for His wisdom. James 1:5, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and it will be given to him." And His people. God's people are a resource for understanding God's will. Those who teach the Word through speaking or writing can help. And it's good to get counsel from mature believers. And more than one counselor is a good idea. Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. Proverbs 15:22. But remember that advice is only advice. The majority vote of a number of counselors may not be right, or it might be right. It may be right, may be wrong. 10 of the 12 spies sent into Canaan in Numbers 13 and 14 were wrong. But mature believers can give us meaningful insight to help us understand God's will. And finally, His peace. God's peace, when clearly from God, can be the final confirmation of God's individualized will. Colossians 3:15, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Now, this peace is a God-given deep sense of rightness about a decision. It is not rooted in emotionalism or human desire. It does not stand alone. His peace is the confirmation that follows prayer, study of the Bible, spiritual wisdom, and insights from a number of spiritually mature counselors. Seek and wait for His peace. So ask, acquire guidance, and then act. It is time to act when we know His will. The answer may be no, as it was for Paul in 2 Corinthians 12. It may be wait. Then we must continue to seek His will. His answer of wait can result in great blessing, Isaiah 40:31. When His answer is yes, we must do His will, even if it is difficult, uncomfortable, unpopular, or costly. And we should delight in doing His will and do it from our hearts. Page 113 contains some warnings. His Word. God will never give individualized guidance that is contrary to His written Word. He will not lead contrary to His Word. No matter what wisdom we think we may have, no matter what advice we may get, no matter what we may experience, no matter what our circumstances may be, and no matter what peace we feel, trust God's Word over all these things. Fleeces. That's from Judges 6:36 to 40. Gideon put out a fleece to get physical confirmation of God's will. It can be a dangerous thing to do. Gideon's words revealed his hesitancy in that reference I gave you, Judges 6:36 to 40. Gideon feared God's anger as he asked God twice to confirm His will. Putting out a fleece seems to be sometimes more popular among believers than it ever was in the Bible. We should put out a fleece very infrequently, if ever, and only after much prayer and careful consideration. And a warning about suffering. Suffering is not necessarily out of the will of God. Listen to that again. Suffering is not necessarily out of the will of God. It is often God's will that you suffer. Suffering may help you do His will. An example is seen in the persecution of the early church, Acts 8:1-4. That caused believers to take the gospel out of Jerusalem in obedience to what Jesus said in Acts 1:8. Pure silver is purified in the furnace of suffering, Isaiah 48:10. Now, the easy, comfortable, prosperous life promised by those who preach a health and wealth gospel is just not found in the full counsel of the Bible. And there's progressive stewardship. God's will for us often involves steady growth as we learn and gain experience in our walk with Him. Moses spent 40 years in preparation tending obstinate sheep before he was ready to tend God's obstinate people for 40 years in the wilderness. And after his conversion, the Apostle Paul spent possibly up to 14 years growing in his walk with God before he went on his first missionary journey. And Jesus taught this principle in Luke 16:10-13. And be careful of polarization. Determining God's will requires balance. It is dangerous to focus on one part of knowing God's will, polarizing to an unbalanced extreme, while ignoring the other parts of knowing His will. To focus all our attention on applying wisdom to the exclusion of God's peace could be dangerous. We could be tempted to exclude the leading of the Spirit. And to focus all our attention on the inner confirmation of peace is also dangerous, tempting us to ignore the Word and the wisdom God has given us. Just be careful. There are counterfeit answers. Be careful of the counterfeit answers taught in the name of Christianity. There are no shortcuts, no gimmicks, no magic answers to knowing God's will. No one experience gives us all wisdom. Page 114 and 115 contain the review questions. So let's go to 116 for the questions, the test in a sense of Lesson 8, God's Will, page 116. The first 9 statements are either true or false. So I'll give you those 9 and then think of, are they true or false? Number 1, God's will applies to most believers. False, applies to all. Number 2, God's individual will may be different for different believers. True. Number 3, most often God gradually reveals His will to us as a product of our obedience. True. 4, believers can know God's general will and individual will for them. True. Most of the time, God's will for believers is good. False. All the time it's good. Number 6, principles from the Bible cover many varying situations. True. Number 7, all biblical examples should be followed. False. There's bad examples. Number 8, God will never lead us to disobey His word. True. Number 9, the first step in finding God's individual will is to seek His peace. False. It's the last step. Number 10, list 3 commandments that contain the words will of God in them. First, abstain from sexual immorality. Then, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, and submit to every human institution. Number 11, the bottom of page 116, the 3 steps to learning God's individual will for us are ask, that means pray, acquire guidance, and then act. Page 117. Number 12, in finding God's individual will, believers acquire guidance from God's word, from His wisdom, from His people, and from His peace. Number 13 is true or false. In seeking advice and finding God's individual will, the majority vote among believers is always right. False. Number 14, true or false. God's peace is the final confirmation for a believer in finding God's general will. F- False. It's for the individualized will. 15. True or false. God's peace is the final confirmation for a believer in finding God's individual will. True. Number 16. In seeking God's individual will, these three answers are possible. What are they? What three answers are there in prayer? Yes, no, or wait. Number 17, when we know his individual will, we must act. That means obey. The last part of this review section is write Isaiah 40:31 as written in your Bible. Now, I've written it here from the New American Standard Bible. Here it is. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. This concludes the reading of Lesson 8, God's Will.